This is the Live Your Edge podcast, episode 44. Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. This is Gilbert Joy, your host. Today, we'll be speaking with Kevin Shi. Kevin is a serial entrepreneur, investor, and adventurer. Kevin spent over 20 years building SE storage from ground zero. After facing many ups and downs in his company, he realized the true purpose of life and started to do adventure trips all over the world, as well as take a more serious note into his investments. Today, we'll be talking about some of his adventure trips. We'll be talking about what the three variables of money is, as well as some wisdom that Kevin has gained over the years. So join me in welcoming Kevin Shi. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Edge podcast. I'm here with Kevin Shi, and Kevin is the founder of SC Storage, as well as an adventurer who has traveled to many exotic locations around the world and having a great adventures. So, Kevin, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, tell us about your startup journey. How do you get started with SC Storage?
I came from a business background, and I thought I was going to help out my dad, you know, doing business. He does trading business with China. But as I came back a long time ago, the business was going nowhere. It was getting getting disrupted by the internet, right? So one of the places that he has is a factory in Hong Kong, and it went busted as well. So with a vacant factory, I was talking to a few guys around there, and then the idea of self-storage popped up, and I started my first self-storage center. This is like almost 20 years ago. And then it was very, very well, and then I grew that company ever since, yeah.
So what was the biggest challenge growing SC Storage?
Well, we had many, many challenges. At the beginning, it was just starting it out because my father, like my family, was in debt. So we not only had to start from zero, we had to start from negative. As we grew bigger, I got ambitious and we wanted the IPO, and that went terribly wrong. Spent a lot of money, $3-4 million in professional fees, and after that we had the Great Fire. We had the Great Fire in which two firemen lost their lives. Oh, wow. So we've been through many, many challenges. Yeah, and to recover from that fire, you know, all the new laws and regulations and all that.
So tell us about the Great Fire for those that are.
So the fire happened in 2016, June 21st. It was our headquarter. It started around 10 o'clock, but somehow the fireman was unable to put out the fire. It became the became the longest fire in Hong Kong history in 100 years.
Wow.
Two firemen passed away, 12 was critically injured. And then after that, we had numerous lawsuits, and the fire department basically just changed the law and regulations on self-storage. And basically they asked us to demolish all our existing sites and just rebuild it.
Mm.
And then the banks doesn't lend us money, and then the media was always on our tail. So it was quite challenging.
But you got through it.
Yes.
So Kevin, what is your how do you define success?
Success is different in throughout different times, you know. For me, success was to be the biggest, baddest industry leader in self-storage for a long time. Now success for me is to have freedom to do whatever I want whenever I want, you know. Just like right now, if I have many, many businesses and yet I don't have freedom of speech, if I say something politically incorrect, that's not freedom, right? If I have like 10, 20 meetings a day, you know, just to keep up where I am, that's not freedom. So if I value freedom, I value experiences more than, you know, having an extra zero in my bank account.
So how has life been for you these days? Like, what is your current, what does a day look like to you?
The final phase of working with the government for a solution for the storage, since they asked us to demolish everything. Okay. You know, we had cash flow problems and all that, but that's been pretty well sorted out. I put a lot of money on the side from business to investment, so I'm earning a lot of passive income in which I don't have to be involved.
Yeah.
And then I just travel and experience the world. You know, I'm not young, but I'm not too old. So I want to experience the world and do a lot of adventure stuff before I get too old, you know.
So what kind of adventure stuff? Could you tell us about those trips that you've been having lately?
Well, I think me and you also know our few common friends like Johnny and his friend Sam. So Sam has been a big inspiration in my life, Sam Marks. He sold off his business when he was 29 and has been doing adventure traveling ever since. So I became quite inspired by what he does, and I just, you know, either I join him or I just go by myself. So this year I just came back from Australia. I was doing a conference speech in Australia for the self-storage convention there, but not to miss out, I enrolled in skydiving. So I did a skydive, you know, 10,000 square feet from the air. Prior to that, I went to Spain, Pamplona, and we did the running of the bulls. So that was quite intense.
Okay.
And then I finished my walk across Ireland. So last year, Sam walked across Ireland. It took him 21 days, right? All the way from Dublin, the most right-hand capital, to all the way to the left-hand Galway. It took him 21 days, and he stopped by every pub. So because of my schedule, I only be able to join him for 15 days or 10 days. So I walked from the middle, from Limerick to Galway. So this time I finished the walk from Dublin to Limerick. So basically, I walked across the entire island. Yeah, not bad. Huh?
So you walked across the entire island in 15 days.
No, I walked across the entire country. Sorry.
Entire country. Okay.
Yeah, in 20 days. 2018, I walked halfway. This year, I walked halfway.
Okay, so you did half and half, but different years.
Yeah, I couldn't afford 20 days consecutively.
Yeah.
What else did I do? Prior to that, I went on my. We do a bicycle trip every year. This year, we did around Okinawa Island. Two times.
Yeah.
So me and my bicycle friends, we rode around the island perimeter around Okinawa Island two times. That was close to 600K. Yeah. So it was around like 80K per day or 70, 80K per day. And that's all for this year. I'm going to Kenya for a helicopter trip around Kenya.
And then
I'm going to Siberia with Sam Marks again from Russia to Beijing. So that's this year. Last year, what did I do? Last year, I went to Tibet. I rode my bike all around Taiwan Island.
Yeah.
And I did the walk in Ireland again, and I think that's all about it. And the year before that, I did a perimeter walk by myself all around Koh Samui Island. We climbed up Mount Fuji. Yeah, so various things, yeah.
Sounds like, yeah, there's a lot of, you frequently have a lot of adventures.
Yeah, that's why I get really angry. And be, hey, man, you made enough money, you're retired. Dude, I'm not retired, man. It's my new life. I'm risking myself, endurance and guts and all that, you know. Yeah. It's not, you know, just sitting there and getting a foot massage and drinking some sake, man. No, man, it's, you know.
Yeah. So what kind of, like, conversations do you have with friends that are not into that lifestyle? They see you doing all this adventure stuff, and like you said, they
would say, SC Storage, you're so rich now, you don't need to work, you're so retired, I envy you. But basically they say, you're so lazy. So one thing I learned to do is I try to mix it up with charity. So if I just go on these trips, I go, you're so free, you know, in a jealous tone. But I say, hey, I'm riding around Okinawa Island for charity, you know. And then there's go for it, you know, work hard, right? So this is like a smoke screen, right?
Yeah.
They don't know how much action I donate, maybe very little, right?
Yeah.
What else? Sometimes you work hard, you gotta know why. And you don't want to work hard for the sake of just working hard.
Okay.
I mean, having said that, if I didn't have that fire, I probably would continue to expand my company in a rapid place.
Yeah.
But But it's like an athlete, you know, you're torn your leg. You can't be the number one again. You pursue different things in your life, right? You adjust to your situation and you make the best out of it, right? I'm lucky I got out of the mess I was in pretty much unscathed, you know? So I think it's to pursue something else in life. And it's not saying I'm not doing my business. I'm still doing my business, but the timing is not right to aggressively expand.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to have a 360 view of the situation, in the sense that if your friends always are in business, they say, oh, you know, I just rebuild everything, you know, never give up, blah, blah, blah. And then you find out you don't rebuild everything, you sell your stuff, and then you use that money to invest something else, you make more money. But nobody tells you that, you know? So,
So what would be an instance where people are working hard for the sake of working hard? You mentioned this.
Just say if I have a factory in China.
Yeah.
And I have 1,000 people, an elder I know, like, he's like close to 60. So he has a factory in China making, I don't know, like electronics or something. 2 years ago, some American company, hey, why don't I buy your company out? I'll give you $1 billion US. Oh, my company is at least worth $1.5 billion. How dare you insult me? Blah, blah, blah. Exactly. Now, because of the trade war, they're not making money anymore. And because of the labor laws in China, every person they sack, they have to pay 1 year severance. So they can't sack anybody and they're not making money. So he'll be gladly selling for half the price, but nobody wants to buy, right? So this is a classic example of you don't know your place, in a sense that you're working there and the money you make is not, it's not for you to spend, enjoy your life. It's just for ego, it's just for pride, right?
Yeah.
And but you're taking yourself enormous risk when you do that. Right? Sure, nothing, like, because all the variables have to be aligned. You know, there has to be no trade war, you know, the labor law doesn't, because you're liable, right? So what I'm saying is you gotta diversify. You gotta, the goal in business is not to have extra zeros so you can show off, but to distress your life and free up your time and have the resources, money to do whatever you want. Yeah.
So that's sort of like a lot of people that become nomads, or they want to live that location independent lifestyle.
Yeah.
They can relate to, like, not working hard for the sake of working hard, but to build a life that you you don't want to run away from.
Yeah, I can't do the bull run when I'm 65 and retired, right? even if I have three zeros in my bank account, man.
Yeah. Right? What was the most what was the scariest adventure you ever been on?
The bull run was quite scary because, like, skydive, it looks scary, but I know that the rate of death is very low.
Yeah.
So you kind of expected it, and right? But the bull run is like nobody's there except you, right?
Oh, there's no one there.
No. Well, I did it with my friends, but they're like as every man for themselves, right? I also did some roof topping with my friends. Oh. Some roof to that was,
in
that
Hong
was
Kong, right?
Yeah, that was pretty scary. I could have gotten blown off.
But people get blown off.
No. But you never know, man. You know, right? So. So that's kind of scary. So,
in a typhoon, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So that was quite scary too. But I like to do either endurance races or like a fear factor thing. Those two are my, you know, yeah.
So what's number one on your list for a fear factor thing?
Right now?
Yeah, after done all that.
Well, I still haven't done the maybe do skydive without a person in the back and just doing it yourself, get the license.
no tandem, like just jump.
No, like right now as an amateur, you need some instructor in the back to open the chute, right?
Yeah.
But you can apply to get the license, you open the chute yourself.
That's a very different experience.
Yeah. My friend did it, he broke his leg. He opened it too late.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
how did that happen? So he opened it too late and he crashed down the
And then we're talking about the Mongol rally probably next year or the year after. That's a bit scary. So you can only have a group of four. You can only have like $5,000 US. You have to buy a car from London and whoever drives to Mongolia first wins.
You can only buy a car from London.
Yeah, the car has to be, well, you start from London, you can walk if you want, right?
But no one's going to walk to
Right. So you can buy a car, but it cannot be more than 1,000 cc. You only have $5,000. $5,000 or $6,000, I forgot. And then you have to pay for your food, your lodging. If there's any government official, you can't get in the visa, you have to bribe them.
Oh wow.
Some guy did it 2 years ago and then his transmission broke off, and then he was in Mongolia, he had to drive in reverse for 30 minutes.
How does that work?
You know, I don't know, man. Yeah. But that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. Wait, well, what if
maybe we have like a rich man version, like, you know, do that, but like we can get to stay in all the Four Seasons.
Wait, you get a $50,000.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. So that's another one I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how does can you just get like a motorcycle instead? Uh-huh. If you can't, is capped at 1,000 cc.
No, like, yeah. Just get a motorcycle. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Yeah. But yeah, so
5,000 for a motorcycle is reasonable, right?
No, 5,000 for a group of four.
Oh, for a group of four.
So you better have one mechanic on board in case your car busts down.
Okay, so you need to get a car.
Yeah, it's called a Mongol Rally, man.
So what would the strategy be, do you think?
I have no idea, man.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun. So yeah, I like these adventures, and then that's why right now I was in Bali, and then people ask, what's your passion right now, you know? Yeah. So my three passion is to experience the world. I think making money is good, but like there's only a certain amount of money you make and then you spend, yeah. Right? I mean, like, you know, as long as there's a few vice you don't do, you don't really spend much, right? Yeah. Right? And then it's a sharing economy. Everything you like, you just rent it, right? Yeah. So how much do you need to spend, right?
Yeah.
So I want to experience the world, right? And then I want to de-stress my life, like make myself less stress-free. And I just want to make an impact. And that's why I do a podcast as well, the Kevin Shi Show.
Yeah.
So as I travel around the world, I get to meet a lot of different people. So I get to interview them and then learn from them, and I share, and I help other people in doing an impact. Yeah.
So where, how do you meet these, when you travel, how do you meet the people? You just, like, you see someone at the airport.
This is the key. Yeah. And you have a podcast, I'll tell you. Don't have empathy. And when you meet some friends of yours who are starting out, you know, don't have a drink. Hey, man, I help you out. Why don't you come to my podcast one day? I'll promote you. You might be helping him out, but that basically dilutes the quality of your show because they are technically a nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody interests about their life except yourself. Yeah. Right? So that was my mistake in the past. You know, I have a lot of youngsters, you know, asking for me for mentorship. I try to help them out. Hey, come on my show. And every time that drops, so no more.
No more.
Only famous people and celebrities. So I joined EO. EO is an entrepreneur organization.
Yeah.
It's a global entrepreneur group. Yeah. And everywhere we have a lot of speakers. So and via EO, I meet a lot of good speakers, right? They're usually business book best-selling authors, motivation speech, or corporate coach, or even big top CEOs, or even like a magician or something. So I just get their contact. I was in a show we had, and usually they would come on my show. So it's a good way. It's a good way to interact with them. And then again, you start building up your core, right? Like if that guy can go on, then you start going up your the ladder of important people. But again. Yeah. You know, don't interview, you know, Barack Obama one day and then have, you know, Felix on the show the next day, man. Just kidding, Felix.
Yeah, so Felix is a common friend of ours. Yeah, that's funny. So the idea is to you get some reasonably known people, and then you use those three people to get even more known people, and until you get to the top.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So your podcast for you, by the way, your podcast was number one in the
although I had like five shows, and one of like some of them was really bad. I did it in the car, and then it was like so much background noise. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a secret about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So. Podcast is one of your ways of impacting people and also getting to know, change makers, different... Yeah.
I also have a charity program. I bring a lot of high school kids from poor era from China, and I match them up with mentors in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So I do a lot of different things. I still do storage. It's just that the face of growth is not there, so I'm just divesting my money somewhere else for higher growth. That's all.
Okay. So that goes back to what you mentioned before about diversifying your money.
Yeah. So think about Hong Kong right now as in the middle of protests. It's better today, but then, you know, think of like as a business owner, right? If all your baskets is one egg in Hong Kong, you're screwed, right?
Yeah.
Diversify and stay liquid. Always have enough cash flow for anything.
So what would be a rule of thumb for cash flow? How many months or what would you
Depends on different industry. Different. Okay. I would say 4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months. 4 to 6 months. And but also as a rule of thumb is I buy a lot of bonds in a sense that bonds pays me an interest, but then comes maturity, they pay me on par.
Yeah.
So I'm just lending out money for people. If I buy stocks, if it goes down, I don't know when it will go back up. But if I buy bonds, it's a 2-year bond. I wait for 2 years to give me back my money at par. So always have money coming back in.
Okay. So when you buy the bonds, will you have a schedule, a time schedule where it would be staggered?
Always 3 years or less. Yeah. So they're always maturing. So I always have... So just say...
Let's say every month something is maturing.
Yeah, so just say right now, these 2 months, the stock market is down so much that I have cash flow to top up. Yeah.
Just from those bonds maturing. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
What other financial advice would you give someone listening to the show and say they're an entrepreneur or they're a nomad or just you know, they want to have stable finances and... I mean, let's say they don't have much to start, 100,000 US. What will you do with that?
Financial advice for start saving money, start investing, invest something safe, don't be too aggressive, and then just let it compound. Because making money is only three variables.
Yeah.
The original principle you have, just so you didn't have much to begin with, so you don't have much of that. The investment vehicle you have, make sure it's stable and produces like a cash flow and results on a regular basis as you know is high enough, so that you need to look for. And thirdly, something that a lot of young people have that I don't have is youth. It's just time times principal times investment vehicle, right?
I see.
So sure, I might have more in the bank, but then my time to accumulate more is less than you. Right, so start early.
So that's start early.
Don't lend money to friends. Don't lend money to your friends. Don't get a materialistic girlfriend or get a rich girlfriend.
So those are two really important things as well. What's the wisest piece of advice you ever got when it comes to money, business, life, anything?
Start entrepreneur young, like you know, because as you get older, you have more downside. You wouldn't do it, especially when you got a good job.
Okay, so the thing is, when people start to get like a huge opportunity cost,
it's just if you get married, your wife won't let you. She wants a stable life, right? Right. If you have kids, are you gonna risk it? Because taking entrepreneurs, just take massive risk when you're young, man.
Yeah.
Right.
What is a belief that you have now that you didn't have when you started out?
The belief?
Yeah, any belief that you have now that you didn't have?
If I see a longtime friend who's always failing in business,
yeah,
you know, always telling me how bad it is, when I was young and prior to the fire and all my setbacks, I would, you know, on the surface, I would be compassionate with them, but deep down, this guy's a fucking idiot. There's something wrong with him, man. How can he be a loser all these time, right? That's the belief I would have before. But after my fire and then, you know, all the things I've been through, actually, I really believe people can get unlucky for a long time. So I have more empathy for these people now.
So it's actually, it's something that happens. Yeah, empathy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like empathy is something that's missing in a lot of like business world? And
I think so.
Yeah, it's like it humbles you, I guess, you know, like when you have
failures. So a lot of people say, you know, you're not as cocky, and life is not a marathon, you know, there's so much in life to explore, you know, it's not to be number one, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess when we're young, what we're thinking is always gonna go up.
Exactly.
And then we face something that just kind of takes up off guard. So who in your life has contributed the most to your success and your development as a person?
A lot of my friends has helped me a lot. A lot of business partners. My parents has motivated me in the right way. My MBA professors. So I think a lot of learning from a lot of friends and mentors I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I take the best out of everybody. Everybody has some goods and bads, but I try to learn
was compatible with me.
Yeah. And what would be a daily habit that's contributed the most to your success? If one daily habit, and if without that, none of this would be possible.
I can talk to people.
Yeah.
I can talk to a stranger on a random basis, and just and then I can just shoot up a conversation, and then usually I can learn something from them and implement it into my own life. So like I said, when I first started storage, I didn't know. I was early and I met some guy who has the upper floor, and then we had a meeting to fix the lift, and I said, hey, is your storage vacant? And he goes, no, we cut it up into different compartments and rent out to some hawkers. So I just followed like the next week.
Oh.
Right? So I met some guy on Facebook. I go, hey, are you still investing in industrial property? No, we invest in REITs now. Oh, really? And I started investing in REITs. So it's nice. My ability to hook up with strangers, random strangers, and talk with them and learn and implement. That's always been my strength. Yeah.
I see. So if it was this habit,
yeah,
it would probably has contributed most to your success, you would say.
Yeah.
Got it.
And a passion for reading. I start reading for a long time. Like usually like self-help, business, investment books. Yeah, that's always been a passion of mine, reading. Yeah.
How do you when you read, how do you go about like implementing the stuff that you read? Sometimes it might not be when you read it, it might not be immediately applicable to your life, but
you remember, right?
Yeah.
What I do is I take notes, a summary in a form of Q&A, and then I review it on a regular basis, right? Yeah. Most of the books I read are quite practical. Like they are usually like a 5 keys to what success or something like that, right? Or you know, yeah.
Yeah. But you wrote your own book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is the name of the book?
It's My Lei Chong Dai Song Ge. It's about mini storage in Asia. In Hong Kong.
Mini storage in Asia.
Yeah.
It's a Chinese book.
Yeah, I'm translating it into English soon.
I see. What is it about?
It's about doing mini storage in Asia. I'm teaching all my competitors how to do storage now.
Why would you do that?
Wait, we live in an era of diminishing information value.
Okay.
Right? No longer does it make sense to hog the information and think you can live off of it, but rather be use the knowledge you have to catapult yourself to become the KOL or the industry leader among everybody, and then get more business value from that, right? Never hog information, be the flow.
I see. So what you mean is like instead of trying to compete with them by
having
business practice,
yeah,
you actually get yourself on another level by sharing everything you know.
And meet all these new people that approaches me for further corporations.
I see.
And obviously, the business has to be very saturated and not very profitable for me to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it yet.
So do you have any competitors approach you and want to partner? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I say, oh, this idiot is giving out all the information for free. Let's see if I can get some customers for him.
Wow. That's something new. You know, it's just instead of competing, you put yourself in. Yeah.
Don't hog information, be the flow. That's a Harvard Business Review article.
Be the flow.
Yeah.
And be the flow, you mean?
Be the center, like exchange. Don't hog best trade practices.
Yeah.
Be the flow.
So give away your best
give
stuff.
Give away your best stuff to people, and then you be in the center of everything. And anything new that comes along, you'll be part of it or you get it first. Because information diminishes. What's best practice now may not be best practice 2 years from now, right? So what's, you know, if you isolate yourself from these people, then you'll never be plugged in enough to react fast enough. The key into the future is rapid unlearning, right? And the reason you need to unlearn is because all knowledge is irrelevant, right? So you have to give information to get to the status, to get the new latest information.
So you gotta give what you already know, and then that will propel your status.
Exactly.
And then you have new stuff coming in, but then by then you already are
the
leader. Okay. Yeah. So like for those people, including myself, that are doing online courses and doing coaching and that stuff, just give away the best stuff, right?
Yeah. They give away 85% of your stuff for free and then ask them to pay, and then you give them 15 rest.
But what is the perception of someone that gets the best stuff and then the other 15% is like
shit?
And I'm gonna say shit, but you know, yeah, it's, they, but they pay for it. That's the thing.
But it's a value of trust. It's just sometimes it's not about learning new stuff. It's about trusting you, and this one a closer interaction with you, right? That's what you're selling, right?
Yeah. So you're selling, the whole sale is trust. It's not about the information itself.
Do you think so? Do you think
I would say so,
If you go to Anthony Robbins seminar, you learn anything new other than the podcast or the books that he's always pretty, I don't think so, right? It's just the experience, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. And sometimes maybe a coach hires someone not to get new information,
just to
but
push
just,
you.
Yeah, just to push you.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
This is a difficult question.
Yeah.
If you had to do it again, would you do anything differently? And if not, is there anything you would do the same?
From when? From what perspective?
From when you first started your company. Or would you have considered, you know, doing the adventure stuff earlier in life? Or would you have changed any of that? Or would it have been the same?
I would be more careful with my business. I mean, the fire was an accident, but there's a lot of ways I did my business that was too haphazard.
Okay.
I just rushed through things. And that was not a money, that's not a money issue. It's not how much I need to spend more money to be careful, but it's just like documentations and all these things. I was just too lazy or too haphazard on that. I should have done things more. If I'd done things more better, then it would have been, you know, it would have been better. That and I probably should have, I should not have, I should have started diversifying my business earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should not focus on storage because it was diminishing return. Like by the time before the fire, it was, the market had saturated. I was making I was making more money, but at a lesser and lesser rate because the market saturated, but I had too much ego. I'm the king of storage. I'm not going to do something else.
Got it.
Yeah.
So we are approaching the end of our episode. Do you have any parting advice for the listeners today on life?
On life, set ambitious goals, review your goals regularly, don't network just to network, know as many people, keep your close network, keep a small circle close. But be selective. And never try to if you're doing well or something, don't have a sudden passion to do something else. Just you gotta work at it.
Yeah.
Right. Because a lot of kids, you know, they want to build this for like a half a year and then they lose interest and they do something else, right?
Yeah.
And then the original investors like, what the fuck? Where are you? You heard that before?
Yeah.
So yeah, like that.
There's a lot of that, right?
And enjoy life, you know. Yeah.
So if someone was...
Oh, yeah, by the way, if you're like doing startups, nomads, don't try to make your startup profitable, grow up big, and if there's a vertical or some big company on top of you, just sell it. Otherwise, you're stuck there for life. This is a world of freemium. A lot of things you can get big, which is not easy to begin with, but it's very damn hard to make money. Look at Uber, right? Right, and then if you have a clause where you can't get out until you're profitable, oh, fuck, good luck, man. Just, you know, grow it big and sell it, have a reputation, do something else. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really, it's not about starting off profitable.
No. Now it's just getting big and just sell it to somebody else. Yeah.
What would be the kind of like cycle, the time period, 5-7 years?
You know, really depends on the traction that you have in your business, but business don't last. I mean, I had cases where people are doing so well, they're offering them tens of millions, they say no, and then competition come in, they get destroyed in about a year, and they're worth nothing, right? So just remember, nothing stays permanent, right?
Yeah.
If you have that opportunity to cash out, man, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, Kevin. If people would like to find out more about you and get more information, what you do, and
well, you can look me up on Facebook. My name is Kevin Shi, KevinShwe. Just say that you're from Gilbert Show, and then I'll add you. Or I have my own podcast, the Kevin Shi Show. You can look it up on Facebook or YouTube.
Awesome! Thanks for coming on the show, Kevin.
Thank you.